I'm Anna.
And I'm Brad, and welcome to our podcast, Continued Conversations, where we dive deeper into hot topics in rehab and the real world. Welcome back to Continued Conversations. Today is kind of the end of a bit of an era, I suppose. We actually started our podcast trying to talk about learning mantras that we have, at Continue and at our parent company, QLI. Those are, you know, concepts that we have tried to integrate into our team members and into our culture with the intent of, you know, helping us think about how do we help someone else learn and grow, you know, specifically within a rehab setting, the clients, the patients, the residents that we work with. But also, hey, these are just normal things that can apply to our lives as well. And so we've talked about concepts like motivate with meaning, identify interferences, tie it to the task just outside of your comfort zone. Repeat, 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 the power of repetition, right? And today we're gonna kind of tie it all together with this concept of support for success. And to do that, we're going to have a friend of ours, Josh Dotzler, join us for our podcast. Josh is a spiritual leader. He's a justice advocate, a communicator, and the CEO of Abide, a nonprofit mission focused on revitalizing the inner city of Omaha, one neighborhood at a time. He's used his voice on a national and a local level to ignite change and inspire individuals to use their God-given influence to see God-sized impact. Josh has served as a lead pastor for over a decade and partners with pastors and leaders from every sector across the city to bring change to local communities. So Josh is a guy that has really kind of gotten this support for success thing down. He's applying it through his influence within the community that he lives in citywide and on individual bases as well. And so we're grateful to have him with us on the podcast today.
All right, Josh, welcome to the podcast. Brad just got done doing an amazing introduction for you. So he spoke for like, it was 10 minutes. He just kept going on.
Wow.
So I know it was pretty
good. Make sure you send me the link.
Well, to kick it off. So we had a question for you. You are involved in the Omaha community, also external from the Omaha community on so many levels, individual, community, spiritual, where you have tons of influence. And so keeping with today's theme, talking about support for success, I think an easy way to tie that back to our listeners and really give them a better understanding is it's more influence. And so can you tell us a little bit about each one of those endeavors and then also talk about your story that led you to where you are today?
Yeah, no, that's great. Tim, Brad, great to be with you guys. And just appreciate you guys allowing me to be a part of this conversation. Love what you guys do as an organization. Love what this podcast does. And, you know, just thinking about influence, thinking about my story, you mentioned those different areas. Some people would say I'm confused, I'm crazy. And, you know, there's different ways to look at it. And part of it, I would say it's a combination of things. Number one, born and raised in Omaha. And my parents started our nonprofit Abide when I was young, grew up kind of being a part of it in different ways, participating in projects and outreach. And, you know, I always loved what my parents did, but I would tell people I didn't want to be a part of it necessarily.
Yeah.
And so I thought basketball was my ticket out of North Omaha, out of what my parents were doing, got a scholarship, went to Creighton, got injured my freshman year. And that kind of was a turning point in my life. And, you know, all the things my parents would always say, you know, one day basketball is going to end. There's more to life than just basketball. And I saw them live a life that was very purposeful and in a way where they really wanted to use their influence. They wanted to use what they had to impact people around them. And so I remember thinking, you know, whatever I do, I don't know what I'm going to do after basketball, but whatever I do, I want to be purposeful. I want to really be intentional with my life. I want to do something that matters, something that makes a difference. And so coming out of college, my wife and I didn't know what that would be. We ended up joining the nonprofit organization, thought it would be a short-term thing. And 13 years later, they still can't get rid of us. But over the course of that time, I would say what I've found is, you know, my purpose specifically, what I get passionate about, is seeing people use their influence to impact the world. And on the basketball court, I was a point guard. And I mean, I was a, you know, set other people up point guard. I was a pass first point guard, get other people involved in the game. And I feel like that's the same strength that I have just in life as a whole. And so one of my primary focuses and my purpose is to really see people use their influence to impact the world. And I get to do that in a variety of different ways. So in the nonprofit world, you know, our mission is to revitalize the inner city one neighborhood at a time. And we know that if we're going to see that happen, it's going to require a lot of people to get in the game and to use their influence. Now, when we say influence, you know, we believe everyone has a story, everyone has gifts and passions, everyone has time, they've got resources. You know, God has given all of us a variety of different things. But on the nonprofit side, we say the more people we can mobilize, the more of the inner city we can revitalize. Yeah. And so that's kind of what it looks like on the nonprofit side. The church side, I've played a variety of roles with churches, with a church that we built. And we believe that that church, one of the powerful things about church is it provides a faith community for people to get engaged with. Mm-hmm. And similar to what you guys are doing, we would say it takes a village.
Sure.
To raise a child, to help an individual. And so when you invite somebody into a community of faith, you're providing resources through relationships. You're providing support. You're also providing inspiration. You know, maybe young people are seeing marriages for the first time. They're seeing families where there's multiple generations of people working together for the first time. And so there's a level of encouragement and inspiration. And then the last thing I would say is, again, my passion is to see people maximize their gifts. And so whether it's through speaking, coaching, some curriculum that I've written, it's really helping people understand their purpose and understand how their purpose affects everything that they, that they're a part of.
How do you go about doing that?
Yeah. I mean, I think number one, it's a process.
Sure.
You know, it reminds me of Jim Collins wrote the book, Good to Great.
Yeah.
And when he talks about organizations coming up with, I would say their purpose, he calls it their hedgehog, but it's what their, like, their focus should be. He says, you know, it'd be great if you could go into a weekend retreat or spend a couple of days figuring out. He said, it takes 6 years plus. He uses the story. He said it took John Wooden 14 years before he won his first championship.
Yeah.
And so the first thing I tell people is it's a process. It's ongoing, but it's really a process of asking ourselves a bunch of questions. And the framework that we use is GPS. And obviously a GPS, I mean, it's kind of old school language, but a GPS would help get us from point A to point B as quickly as possible. But GPS stands for gifts, passions, and story. And so in those three categories, gifts, we say, man, what are you naturally good at? What do you love doing? We'll ask a series of questions under passion. If you could change something, what would you want to see changed? A lot of times passion is actually birthed out of pain, either we've experienced or the pain we see in others. And so there's questions that help us understand that. And then our story, all of us, I believe that God is writing a unique story in our lives, and the high points, the low points. For me, you know, basketball was one of those things. My upbringing in the community, being at a funeral of a kid who grew up across the street from me, and just seeing at 16, his life cut short, and just asking a series of questions of what could I do to be a part of seeing his lives like his kind of end up differently. So our gifts, our passions, our story, we would say all work together to help us start to put together kind of our purpose and direction for our purpose.
Yeah. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
I'm thinking about like that concept of support for success, and within this healthcare realm, you know, that Tim and I work in, and probably not so much Tim, but you know, one of the things that myself and a lot of other healthcare providers here at QLI and continue have been a part of is just identifying like, hey, how much, you know, cognitive or support do you need for how you're thinking or for your memory? How do we, you know, kind of start you out at the right level of support, or from a physical aspect, you know, how much support do you need to get yourself dressed or maybe walk again? And beyond that, then what does that community look like around you? Not just your immediate family or spouse or friends, but also the, you know, physical environment and the community that you're going back to. You know, what does that look like? And how do we try to set you up for success? Because we know that in all of these transitions and changes that people go through after a catastrophic injury, there can be a lot of chaos created in those moments. And the best way to kind of smooth that is educating as many people as you possibly can and trying to set them up for success that way. Right. And it can be really hard, like going from this, you know, bubble of the rehab world back into your actual life again with changed ability, maybe changed ability to think or move, or respond to people. Like it can be so hard. And, it's a skill to be able to help set people up to have success in those environments, right? And to have the right level of support. And it's something that we've worked really hard at. And so I'm kind of, you know, even, you know, through your work at Abide or with other individuals, like how do you kind of process through giving the right level of support to help people grow and get better?
Yeah. I mean, I think similar to the work that you do, you know, people come to you probably for a variety of different reasons or a variety of different injuries, experiences that kind of lead them to you. And I think the same is in our work in terms of the services that we provide. Part of our work, we say, is the power of presence. And so we want to be present in communities where we're close enough to people who maybe have challenges, needs, or are looking for support to where we can start to build that relationship. So I think for us, it starts with being present. But then number two, there has to be a relationship. We want to do everything out of relationship because we know relationship drives change ultimately. We can provide services, we can provide handouts, but ultimately we're looking for life change. We're looking for transformation. We're looking for a new motivation. And so our presence matters. It has to be relational. Number three, they have to want it.
Sure.
You know, and sometimes there's a process of helping them understand kind of a bigger vision for why they need it, why they should want it. You know, I think I was thinking of my kids recently. We started swim team this summer and they did not want to go to practice at 8 a.m. when it's cold outside. Yeah. And I don't blame them.
Yeah.
And we kind of had to push them through that. And, you know, a week later, they think swim practice and swim team is the greatest thing in the world. And so sometimes there is a process to helping push people, but ultimately, you know, people have to be willing to engage in the change process, not just wanting to receive whatever maybe benefits of that relationship that they can have. And so, and then over the course of that process, obviously you want to see growth. Mm-hmm. You want to see steps. You don't want to, you know, a year from now, come back and feel like you're in the same position. And that goes along with that desire for change. But we know that change doesn't happen all in one day, but it happens every day.
Yeah.
And so our job is to every day engage in that process with those that we're supporting, those that we're working with.
There's a level of patience that has to exist with it and kind of letting it play out, but being present, I love that word presence, like the presence matters, the relationship matters. And then the want to from the individual too. Like, you've probably done this. I know Tim has done this myself. Like, man, I can't just like grow in a bubble. I've got to seek that out from other people who are watching me, who are around me, who see how I work or who see how I live my life outside of work. Right. And can challenge me in different areas.
Yeah.
And so you have to seek out that support at times as well. Right.
Yeah. Which I think the part of the challenge sometimes, and I bet, you know, you guys experience this, we experience this here, is a lot of times people don't change because they don't think they need to, or they've never seen a model or a picture of someone who's changed in front of them.
Yeah.
And so just trying to help them in that process, you talk about patience, the patience to even work with people until they're ready to be a part of that change. Sometimes I think is one of the most challenging things because we see who people can become. We see their potential, but then getting them to be able to recognize that potential and recognize it's going to take some work to get to where you want to be and to get to where we think you can be. And you have to be willing to go through that, process. I think so much of growth and development, like when I look at our community and who we're working with, generationally, there have been habits that have been passed down that can limit our ability to really put in that work and effort, sure, and really to see a vision for who we can become.
Sure.
No, I was gonna say, no, I think that's an amazing point. And I want to ask you a question about, you know, you talked about story, right? Getting people's stories, having them tell you their stories, and how do you offer the right amount of support? How can you, if you don't actually understand their story? So yeah, do you find it's tough for individuals to open and be comfortable to tell you their story? Or do you think that they oftentimes think that their story isn't worth being told? And how do you kind of break down that barrier and tell them, no, like, no, we want to know who you are and what that story is, because it's still being written. And how do we continue that story?
Right. And the best is yet to come.
Yeah.
I mean, I think stories, you know, understanding people's stories, hearing people's stories happens through relationship, which relationship requires a level of trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And trust doesn't just happen, you know, overnight. It takes time to build that trust. And so I think for us, we think about, number one, the resources that we have to offer people hopefully are just really initial engagement points, mm-hmm, to start that relationship. We do, you know, a food distribution every second Saturday. I'm not hearing most people's stories on second Saturdays. You know, we're putting boxes of groceries and frozen food and meals and diapers into people's cars. We're saying hi, we're smiling. You know, I'm leaning into their window, kind of trying to get to know them, getting their information. I'm not hearing their story there, but they're saying, man, this guy cares about me. Like, yeah, building that trust. He cares about our community. Yeah. Like I'm starting the process of building trust. And then we want to invite your children to one of our programs on campus, or we want to continue to serve you where you live in your neighborhood. And so we start this process of building relationship. And over time, you know, I think people realize, man, this person really cares about me. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just asking for your story. I'm sharing my story.
Yeah.
And how I got to where I am. And But I think, to your point, understanding people's story can really help us help them in the best way.
Absolutely.
I think of a one guy we were working with, and you know, we had him living in one of our facilities kind of short term, and he kept getting jobs and losing jobs and getting jobs and losing jobs. And after a long conversation, you know, I realized he was afraid to try to go after actually a decent job. Because of his history and always losing jobs, he was afraid that would happen again. And he didn't even want to go down that route. And so we worked with somebody who was close to us, who hired him, good paying job, where he was able to get some stability for his family. But I would have never known, you know, the reason he was always going in and out of jobs and the reason he was always taking these low paying, just kind of unstable jobs. But it was because of the story that he had lived growing up, in being on his own and figuring things out and having some addictions. And then his fear of, mm-hmm, walking into the unknown and feeling like he was going to fail from the jump.
Yeah. I think that's amazing. The presence, back to Brad's point, back to what you were saying, I think that that's half the battle. I feel like there's a lot of times people, there's a lot of lip service, you know, and people are like, oh, we're there, we're supporting, but there's no presence, right? It's just this on paper, or, you know, but the lack of committing to being present, in a lot of these inner city communities, and what you're doing is truly incredible. And that's the only way to build that trust, only way to build that community and that relationship. So kudos to you all for doing that. That's incredible.
Well, and I'll just say this, because I think of presence, I think about, you know, you guys being present with those you're working with and that journey. Mm-hmm. It is not always easy being present.
No.
Everything from the hours to, you know, just in our community, with a community defined by poverty and crime and violence. And I mean, you're hearing the results of that. You're seeing that when it comes to your family and opportunities, sometimes we have to go outside the community. And so the power of presence is real, but the power of presence is also can be hard at the mm-hmm. same time. And that's, I think, the power of a community.
Yeah.
And not being the only one that's there and being with a group of people who are living on purpose, on mission together.
Mm-hmm. So how do you do that? I mean, how do you, what have been some techniques or some things you've implemented in the community to build kind of those ambassadors of your brand or the ambassadors of your program?
Yeah. I mean, I think of, you know, we started, my parents were living in a neighborhood. The police had redlined as one of the most violent. And through our neighborhood approach, through refurbishment of an old building, 15,000 square foot building that my parents would move into, we saw this neighborhood change. Before that, you know, people called my parents crazy. Why would you move your family into that neighborhood? Why would you live there? Why would you? And for him, the motivation was his faith and wanting to make a difference. But fast forward now, you know, our organization is 33 years old. And my parents are living there. And then my wife and I move into the neighborhood and another family moves into the neighborhood. And before you know it, more people are getting a vision for what can happen and joining this community. And we've had to get more strategic. You know, in 2016, the summer of 2016, we purchased what we call the Better Together campus. And so for us, having a location that is kind of a center for all of our community activities, having a location where our programs can be centralized, where while we're in the neighborhoods working with people, we can invite them to a location where they can get the support they need. So it's not all about location, but before we were on this campus, we were like at this school for this gym and we're over here and over here. And so this location has allowed us to be more intentional in building that community. But if we're not careful, we've got 75 lighthouses all over the North Omaha community. It can feel isolating. You can feel like, you know, you're doing this by yourself, but we try to consistently have gatherings and trainings and coaching to help our leaders really feel supported and help them support their neighbors too.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I'm coming back to your wooden comment about, you know, it took 14 years to win a championship, and there's an element for you guys where like, hey, there's just been this faithful presence and it's grown over time and maybe even blown up a little bit more, right? More people have gotten involved over time. So that's
right.
That's really cool. I'd be remiss to not mention the fact that, you know, you focused on relationship building. And it, for anyone listening to this, you know, we did several podcasts on the power of relationship building, specifically on empathy and active listening and developing trust with people. And those are just really good. Hopefully they're really good listens thoughtful and certainly applied to what Josh is talking about here too. You know, we've talked a lot about support that we can give to other people, but Josh, you wouldn't be in the position that you're in without getting a lot of influence from others and support from others in your life. Who have been some of those top people for you that have maybe coached you and helped you along the way?
Yeah. I mean, I think number one, my parents, you know, they've been my biggest cheerleaders, supporters. I tell people I wouldn't be in this position if not for them. Mm-hmm. And they modeled it, I think, first and foremost. And then they encouraged us all to pursue our purpose. And, you know, they would never say they envisioned or wanted me to be in this position where I've kind of taken over, you know, the organization that they started and doing the things that we're doing. But they were always about, we want all of our kids to walk in their purpose. And they modeled that before us. My wife, you know, we met in high school or college, freshman year of college, got married before we were out of college. And she has modeled before me what influence look like, what influence can look like. That's very opposite than me. Mm. She's very, you know, she's a peacemaker and she's not the loudest in the room, but she's very relational and is always resourcing people. And so she's definitely helped me become more well-rounded and holistic in how I see life and how I work with people. And just being together on the same team and doing the work. It's not just my purpose. It's our purpose.
Yeah.
So, and then I've been fortunate just in our city to have different leaders that in different seasons I've been able to be in conversation with. I think of your CEO, Pat at QLI, and I've had the opportunity to just be at QLI and see what you guys are doing and ask her questions and learn. I would say from some great leaders. And, you know, I think John Maxwell, I believe it was John Maxwell says, you know, leaders are learners. And when your learning stops, your leadership stops. Mm. And so just having a habit of always learning, listening, reading books, following people, having mentors from a distance, has definitely helped shape me and make me who I am. I mean, I can't throw out, if you want to grow as a leader, I say, number one, get married. Number two, have kids.
There you go. Hey, there you go. Yeah.
There you go.
Because your patience, your empathy, your relation, I mean, all of it is wrapped up in many ways in that core. And my wife and I have four children, 12, 10, 8, and 4. And they've taught me as much about leadership as anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Made me who I am.
Absolutely. Now, you have to have patience to have kids. I don't think that, right? as I was giving my daughter a ride to daycare this morning, and she was saying the wildest things to me. I was just like, what are you eating? What is happening right now?
Every day.
She's 3 going on 14. So
yep. It's crazy. Yo, I got one of those too. Actually, 2 of them.
Yeah. Well, Josh, we appreciate all of your insight, and what you're doing in the community is just incredible. And so, how can people be connected with you and kind of see some things you have going on? Give a shout out to your socials or to website. What do you got going on?
Yeah, we got our website, abideomaha.org. You can check us out. You can sign up to volunteer. You can learn more about our programming and what we're doing. You can also go to Abide Omaha on any of the social media outlets. Second Saturday, serve every second Saturday right here on the Better Together campus. One of the easiest ways, if you want to volunteer with your family as an individual for a couple of hours, we're always love seeing people and just love to make it easy for people to get involved.
It's awesome.
That's awesome. Thanks again for joining us, Josh. We appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
You bet.
Thanks for joining the conversation today. If you found it helpful, please share with your family and friends. You can learn more about us on our website at continuetellerehab.com. We're also on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook if you want to follow us there.